Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said with man's great ability to think, to reason and compute, we can now pinpoint most of our current problems. The trouble is we can't solve them. We're happy to be with you today with the opportunity of Bible study. We're glad you're listening, and we hope that our study together will be enjoyable and we'll learn something about God's will. Let's return now to our study, and we're talking about just what is a Christian. We've noted a number of passages that relate to a description of Christians, and we were looking at some things that are qualities that are clearly seen in those who are Christians. For instance, a righteous person is a Christian. A Christian, not just because he's righteous, but a Christian who does the things that are taught in the Word of God. A sincere person. We noted sincerity as being a quality of one who is a Christian, one who's been baptized into Christ. He now sincerely serves God, not a matter of hypocrisy. Well, let's look at another characteristic. A characteristic is that of commitment. Christianity is not just a passing phase. It's not something that is just held on Sunday and then forgotten throughout the week, but rather a matter of a life committed unto the Lord. Let's look at some passages that talk about that. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, Paul says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which ye have of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. Now, there isn't any question but that this passage says God's Spirit dwells in us if we recognize that we belong to the Lord, and if we do as He commands. Well, very clearly, we must have our lives committed because we have indeed been purchased with a price. You want to know the price for our redemption? Look at Acts 20 and verse 28. The record says He purchased the church with His own blood. And so the blood of Christ was paid to redeem us from our sins. Now Paul says, you've been bought with a price. What's the price? The price is the blood of Christ. Therefore, you commit your body and your spirit unto Him. Well, when I think about that, what do I have beyond my body and my spirit? People talk about their earthly possessions, but those things don't last, do they? When a person dies, what about his car? When a person dies, what about his bank account? What happens to his home when a person dies? Well, those are simply things that are here temporarily. We use them for a while, but after a while they're gone. And you and I return to our Master. We'll answer to Him for our conduct, but it's not a matter of us saying, well, I'll take those things along with me when I go. Why, people just don't do that, do they? No way they could possibly take their money or their home or their car. You just can't take things like that with you at the time of death. So a Christian then gives his body and his spirit, that's all that he has, he gives that to God. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, I read a statement like this. You're a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show the praises of Him who called you into His marvelous light. Now let's look at that passage again. Your chosen generation. That simply means God selected you. How did He do it? By the gospel. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and pointed out to them in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, whereunto He called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's the way we're called. We're called by the gospel. Now, God doesn't call us in some small, still voice and talk to us in some miraculous way. God, however, does call us through the preaching of the gospel. Well, you are a chosen generation. How did God choose you? By the preaching of God's word. You were given the opportunity of either serving the Lord or not serving Him. It's not the doctrine of Calvin that God already made the choice and you had no decision in it. It was something God decided for you. Don't believe that doctrine. It's not Bible doctrine. The Bible teaches that you have a choice. And so we're encouraged, enter ye in at the straight gate. We're encouraged, choose ye this day whom you will serve. We're told, choose life. In other words, those are all decisions we make. And so we determine the difference. But we belong to God. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. The idea of royalty is the idea connected with those who are of a royal family. And so you're a royal priesthood. You know what that means? That just simply means that I serve as a priest in the kingdom of God. And I don't have to have another priest through whom I reach the Father in heaven. I serve as a priest, and if you're a Christian, you also serve as a priest and offer your petitions, offer your worship unto your Father in heaven. If you look at the 13th chapter of the Hebrew letter in verse 15, the record says we offer the fruit of our lips, a sacrifice of praise to our Father in heaven. So we serve as priests in the kingdom of God. Now we are a royal priesthood and a holy nation. That means you're a people who are God's people. But look at the term holy. The term holy to us suggests the idea of purity, cleanness. God intended for us to be, as His people, a clean, pure body of people. God doesn't call us out of the world of sin to go ahead and live a life of sin. He wants us to turn our lives around. Friends, Christianity is a commitment to God that we'll live a different kind of life. We'll leave the world behind us. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, we'll leave those things behind us. Read 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. Because we want to live a pure life before God. Holiness is a part of our makeup. We're trying to live holy lives. Now that doesn't say anything about, even though sometimes people interpret it this way, that doesn't say anything about the way that I'm looking on somebody else. People get the idea, well, if you believe in practicing holiness, you're looking down on other people. No, not friend, not so, friends. The Bible very plainly teaches that each of us are responsible to our God, and we must live pure, clean lives before God. That doesn't say anything about looking down on anybody else. It just means I have committed myself to living a clean life. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, John's talking about our being like the Lord, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be like, but we shall see him as he is. And then as you read this passage, he concludes by saying, everyone that hath this hope within him purifieth himself. Friends, we need more people in our world who are purifying themselves, who are trying to live clean lives before God and man. We have people very clearly doing just about all of the terrible things you can imagine. Pick up your paper and read of the crime and the things that are done in our society. These are things that Christian people do not do. They stay away from because they're trying to live a pure life. They want to go to heaven, and therefore they purify or make clean their own lives. We appreciate this opportunity of talking with you about this Christian person. And we hope that you'll remember it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to